Have you ever noticed what a fly does when it lands on your plate after a meal? What's the first thing it does? Well, if you study it, it cleans itself. You watch its little hands go over its head. Then it'll clean its wings. Then it'll clean its legs. Clean machine is the fly. Now, if you study man, watch what he does. He cleans his fingernails. He cleans his teeth. He shampoos his hair. Soaps his face. He cleans his clothes. Clean machine is man. But you follow him and see what his appetites are really for. Just like you follow a clean little fly and you see what it really desires. It's an unclean thing, the fly. And the Bible says, speaking of you and I, we're all as an unclean thing and all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So what does that mean? We're all as an unclean thing. Because I guarantee if I came along the line today and spoke to you and said, do you see yourself as an unclean thing in the sight of God? You'd say, what are you talking about? I'm a basically good person. And the reason we feel like that is because we're like the religious people in the time of Christ. The Bible says this, they went about to establish their own righteousness, being ignorant of the righteousness which is of God. Now what does that mean? Well, another word for righteousness is the word goodness. These people went about to establish their own goodness, being ignorant of the goodness which is of God. Now let me put it another way. A little girl was once looking at a sheep as it ate grass, and she thought to herself, man, that sheep looks nice and clean against the green grass. Then it began to snow, and the girl said, boy, that sheep now looks dirty against the white snow. It was the same sheep, but there was a different background. Now, when you and I measure ourselves by the standard of man's goodness, by his righteousness, we come up clean. I mean, my life compared to Adolf Hitler's makes me seem a virtuous person. Plenty of people worse than me, I can guarantee you that. But the Bible tells us on the day of judgment, the backdrop will not be the standard of man, but the perfect white righteousness of a holy God. So what I'm going to do this morning is just very quickly go through some of God's commandments to show you his standard of righteousness, what God expects of you and I. The first of the Ten Commandments says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. That means God is your creator, whether you believe in him or not. He is your God. You have a God, the one who made you, who formed you in the womb, who gave you the personality that you've got, gave you the color eyes that you've got, the color hair, your height. Everything was given to you by God. We're not an accident. And he said, you shall have no other gods before me. That means the one who gave you life commands that he be the one you love above all other things. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Have you kept that commandment? Have you obeyed it? Can you say, I'm righteous as I stand before that commandment? The Bible tells us no one can say that. It says there is none that seeks after God. The Bible tells us we're unthankful, we're unholy, we don't care about God. We use his name as a cuss word. We hold our fist up in rebellion to the God of heaven and say, God, it's my life. I'll live it as I want. The Bible tells us our natural mind is a place of hostility when it comes to God and his moral government. We don't want God telling us what to do. That's called rebellion, and it's a transgression of the first of the Ten Commandments. The second says, you should not create a graven image. You should not make yourself a graven image. That is, you should not make a God to suit yourself. You should not create a God that you feel comfortable with. Now, in Bible times, they did that all the time. They'd shape a golden calf, they'd make some sort of heinous idol. People still do it today. They make a physical idol and they bow down to worship this dumb idol that has no eyes, no ears, and no brain. It's an inanimate object. It's stupid. But we do the same thing in our minds. We don't create a God with our hands. We create a God we feel comfortable with. We shape him to conform to our sins. Now, I did it before I was a Christian. I had a God I prayed to every night for 10 years. I could rattle through the Lord's Prayer in about 10 seconds. It meant nothing but a sleeping pill, a habit. And I prayed to the God of my own creation, a non-existent God, a figment of my imagination, a God that had no sense of justice or righteousness or truth. That's called idolatry, when you have a god to suit yourself. And it's a violation of the second of the Ten Commandments. Let's slip over to the seventh. You shall not commit adultery. Now, maybe you have not committed adultery. But guys, listen to what Jesus said. He said, but I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. You see, God requires truth in the inward parts. The Bible says the law is spiritual. That means civil law is limited as to what it can do when it comes to your crimes. It can't see your thought life. But the Bible tells us God goes right through to the thought life and he sees hatred as murder. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. He sees lust as adultery. Nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. Have you lied or stolen? Then you're a lying thief. Now can you see how the law shows us God's perfect standard of righteousness? And that's the standard God's going to judge you with and me on the day of judgment. So what will you do when all your secret sins come out? When you realize in your heart the Bible's right when it says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. See, God is angry at sin. God is angry at sinners. The Bible says all nations that forget God, he'll turn into hell. His wrath abides upon us because of our transgressions, because we've violated his law. We're like a heinous criminal who slit the throat of a number of sweet young ladies after he raped them, and he's standing before a good judge. Is that judge going to have a benevolent attitude towards a criminal? No, he'll be angry. He'll bring down the gavel and say, I'm going to send you to the electric chair. He's angered by the transgression of the criminal that stands in front of him. And the Bible says God's wrath abides upon each of us. But the wonderful thing is that this God who is just and holy is benevolent. The Bible says he's rich in mercy. And he commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God became a human being in Jesus Christ and gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. He paid for our sins in his life's blood. He paid the fine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Through the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God can remit your sins. He can dismiss your case. He can commute your death sentence and save you from everlasting damnation, eternal hell, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Now the Bible says God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Folks, do turn from your sins today. Don't wait until tomorrow. 150,000 people die every single day. Today you could die, I could die. It's a horrible thought, but it's the truth. Now we don't really believe that, but you can guarantee the 150,000 people that died yesterday didn't believe it either. So think soberly about your eternal salvation. Repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Don't just believe in him, trust in him like you trust a parachute. And the moment you do that, you have God's promise, you'll pass from death into life. You'll pass from darkness into light. The Bible will come alive. Instead of God being afar off, he'll be your closest friend. He says he promises to dwell within you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll seal you with his Holy Spirit and make you a new person. You'll be born again with a new heart and new desires.